The Constitutional Convention of 1787, the Founding Fathers discussed, debated, and dismissed placing term limits on members of Congress in the Constitution. As the topics unfolded in the Constitutional Convention of 1787, the Founding Fathers discussed and debated placing term limits on members of Congress. At the completion of the convention, as the signatures were placed on the completed and newly written U.S. Constitution, there was no mention of term limits, and it would remain that way until 1951, following the death of Franklin Roosevelt in 1945, at the beginning of his fourth term. Wanting to ensure that no president would ever potentially use their role as commander-in-chief against America, an amendment was added to the Constitution. The terms of the president were amended to and limited to 2 terms following the guidelines presented in Article 5 of the Constitution, with the 22nd Amendment approved by the people and Congress in 1951. At the time of the Constitution's writing, term limits were called ineligibility for reappointments. Today, many advocates for term limits use a Thomas Jefferson quote to support and influence their pro-term limit viewpoint on those who have not studied the documents of freedom, leaving the uninformed citizen with a belief that the founders believed in and supported term limits. That assumption is far from the truth, actual beliefs and actions of the founding fathers. Jefferson had said, "To prevent every danger that might arise to American freedom from continuing too long in office, it is earnestly recommended that we set an obligation on the holder of that office to go out after a certain period." Although Thomas Jefferson, the major author of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, did believe in term limits, when the Constitutional Convention occurred 11 years later, the Revolutionary War had ended, and Thomas Jefferson was an ambassador to France and was actually there during the 1787 Constitutional Convention. Although he communicated with James Madison during the convention, after debate and prolonged discussion by those in attendance, Jefferson's term limit viewpoint failed to gain the support of the founders, including James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Gouverneur Morris, and Roger Sherman, all firmly opposed to term limitation. And as the Constitution was drafted, Jefferson's desire to have term limits included in the Constitution fell on deaf ears and was dismissed. There were no term limits placed on the United States Congress. We the people would choose our representatives to Congress and use our vote to dismiss them if they failed. On October 24, 1787, James Madison wrote to Thomas Jefferson a complete overview of what had transpired during the convention and the thoughts of those in attendance and their conclusions on the issue of term limits. The following has been excerpted from that correspondence specifically concerning the discussions which occurred during the convention and the conclusions of the founders of the Constitution. Madison wrote, "As the duration in office, a few would have preferred a tenure during good behavior, and a considerable number would have done so, in case an easy and effectual removal by impeachment could be settled. It was much agitated whether a long term, 7 years, for example, with a subsequent and perpetual ineligibility, or a short term with a capacity to be reelected, should be fixed. Those in favor of the first opinion were urged the danger of a gradual degeneracy of reelections from time to time, and to a first a life and then a hereditary tenure, and the favorable effect of an incapacity to be reappointed on the independent exercise of the executive authority. On the other side, it was contended that the prospect of necessary degradation would discourage the most dignified characters from aspiring to the office, would take away the principal motive to the faithful discharge of its duties, the hope of being rewarded with a reappointment, would stimulate ambition to violent efforts for holding over the constitutional term, and instead of producing an independent administration and a firmer defense of the constitutional rights of the department, would render the officer more indifferent to the importance of a place which he would soon be obliged to quit forever, and more ready to yield to the encroachments of the legislature of which he might again be a member. Those who do study the documents of freedom are aware of this discussions between Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Gouverneur Morris, Roger Sherman, and most of the other founders, who concluded that term limits for all other elected representatives would be omitted. The present limitation on the number of terms a president may serve of 2 years was a result of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson limiting themselves to 2 terms in office, which became the accepted practice of presidents until Franklin Delano Roosevelt during World War II, who continued the presidency for 4 terms, although he died in 1945 at the beginning of his 4th term. 6 years later, in 1951, the 22nd Amendment was approved and became law, officially limiting presidents to 2 terms. The record of the Constitutional Convention of 1787 clearly shows that James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Gouverneur Morris, Roger Sherman, and most of the founders were firmly opposed to term limits, or what they then called ineligibility for reappointment. There can be no question about the correctness of the convention record concerning Madison's view, because Madison himself, under the direction of convention chair George Washington, kept the records of the convention. James Madison brought to the convention of 1787 an outline for the new government known as the Virginia Plan, which left intact the custom of single one-year terms, then mandated for delegates serving in Congress under the Articles of Confederation. Under Madison's Virginia Plan, all members of Congress would have been elected by the state legislatures. But when convention moved to have members of the House elected directly by the people, Madison voted for that principle, revised his plan accordingly, and rejected term limits. He later explained in the Federalist No. 53, "No argument can be drawn on this subject from the case of the delegates to the existing Congress. They are elected annually, it is true, but their reelection is considered by the legislative assemblies almost as a matter of course. The election of the representatives of the people would not be governed by the same principle." Madison cited the advantages of long-standing membership in a Congress elected directly by the people, and explained the disadvantage of a great number of new members to Congress. "A few of the members, as it happens in all assemblies, will possess superior talents, will, by frequent re-elections, become members of long-standing, will be thorough masters of the public business, and perhaps not unwilling to avail themselves of those advantages. The greater the proportion of new members, and the less the information of the bulk of the members, the more apt they will be to fall into the snares that will be laid for them." Madison and most of the delegates to the convention wanted good men, frequently re-elected, to preserve the permanency of government and to retain the advantage of their years of experience. At no time did Madison argue for term limits or vote in favor of ineligibility due to tenure. Madison, Hamilton, and Washington were, in fact, prime examples of careerism, having served a cumulative total of 88 years in public office.